Sometimes it's not who you know, but what you know. A few obvious routes to monetizing knowledge include patents, expert testimony, writing nonfiction books, and even academic journals. In a News Focus this week, Jeff Mervis writes about a big business approach to buying expertise for investing advice. I spoke with him about some of the inherent risks in selling consulting services via a third-party hookup.
Well, I think these expert network firms are not well known to most people, even the ones who participate. But over the last 15 years, I think they've become a significant player in this effort to try to make money from knowledge, is what it comes down to.
So what exactly are expert networks? Who might participate in them, and what are they needed for?
Well, the largest firm, and the one we focus on in this story, began because its founders realized in talking with physicians and physician researchers that there was a lot of money going into new biotech companies and medical devices in the 90s, but that the people making the investments didn't necessarily know as much about the field as they should. They may not have known the current treatments and current practices, and that there was a mismatch, and a lot of money was going into projects and trials and drugs that weren't going to succeed. And so they saw an opportunity to create a business which would link the experts, the knowledgeable scientists, physicians, and the like, with the people who needed to know that knowledge, whether they are stock analysts, venture capitalists, or consulting companies, or other people who use that knowledge to then make money, to invest the money of their clients or their own money.
So let's talk about some of the risks associated with participating in this type of scheme. Can you give some examples?
Well, the biggest risk is that the expert will go over the line. And by that, I mean that experts, by their nature, are participating in activities that are proprietary or that involve confidential information, whether it's the results of a drug trial or company's stock, a company's products, or anything else. And they need to keep that confidential. The clients, on the other hand, obviously are looking for an edge in the market. And so they're looking for information that isn't necessarily public. But there's a difference between information that isn't public and information that is illegal to transmit. And it's the former, where if you cross the line, you can get in trouble with the Justice Department. And the most recent case in November, which was the peg for this story, involved a trader who used knowledge obtained from an expert through an expert network firm and resulted in what the Department of Justice says is $276 million in ill-gotten profits.
That's the money involved for the investors. What about for the consultants or the experts? What kind of money do they get paid?
Well, they get paid an hourly consultant rate, and that varies depending on their expertise in their field. It can be anywhere from $250 to $1,000 an hour. What expert network firms are doing is expanding the traditional consulting arrangement. The traditional arrangement is the expert would be contacted by an individual, a company or an individual, and say, we want to talk to you about X or Y, and they would arrange the conversation and pay them. The expert network firm professionalizes that in the sense that they say, we will handle all that arrangements. We will be the matchmaker. We will pay the expert his or her hourly fee. In return, we will get paid by clients to give them access to our database of experts, and then we will handle all the paperwork. We will make sure that people are paid. We will also make sure that they are told what the law is on confidentiality, on conflict of interest, what they should and shouldn't participate in. And the hope is that that will keep it on a more professional basis. And for the most part, it does. But of course, there are exceptions, and the exceptions are what gets into the newspaper.
Well, can you give us a concrete example of, say, what an investor might want advice on?
Okay, so an investor, a client, might be interested in investing in a company that's developing a new medical device or a new treatment for leukemia. And they want to know what the experts in this field say about current treatments, about current devices and whether they would use this new drug were it to get FDA approval or a new device. That's in the medical area. Now, the same thing is true in lots of other fields, in communication, in real estate, commercial products. They want to test their knowledge, which is limited, with what the experts know, which is much greater. And as a result of that, they can make decisions or they can advise their clients to make decisions on where to put their money.
Okay. The experts that you spoke with, people who are working for these expert networks, only agreed to speak to you anonymously or to be published anonymously. Why was that?
Well, that's interesting, actually, because they gave different reasons. It's not that what they're doing is illegal, certainly, but one of them, for example, was worried that he might say something that the expert network firm might object to. And since the firm provides him with his clients, that would cut off a source of revenue. Another person was concerned that his or her university might look askance, even though universities are supposed to have comprehensive rules on consulting and what constitutes a potential conflict of interest. A third person just didn't want his name associated with something that's been in the news in a negative light, and said, in effect, you know, I have a whole career. I would rather keep my name out of it.
So you mentioned some of the safeguards that academic institutions have on consulting by people who work there. Are there any that directly address networks like this?
It's a good question. Most universities consider this just to be another type of consulting. And their response is generally disclosure. And then if that disclosure reveals a potential problem, dealing individually with that situation. But some institutions, a few, and the Cleveland Clinic is probably a leading example, have decided that consulting for expert network firms is a different breed of animal, even though it is consulting, and they have put together much more stringent rules in an effort, frankly, they admit, to discourage their physician scientists from consulting for expert network firms. They feel that the risk of running into problems that would besmirch the name of the institution are greater than the potential benefit of conveying expert knowledge to investors. And they separate that from the kind of direct consulting where a physician might be on a scientific advisory board or may be advising on a clinical trial or may be working with a drug company on developing a new device. The clinic's argument is we know where that information is going if they're dealing with company X. Right. But through an expert network firm, we don't know because it goes through this third party, and we're not comfortable having our people convey that information to a third party that we don't have a direct relationship with.
Okay. Well, so there was a really big case of this coming to light in November of a misuse of an expert network. But in general, how widespread would you say that this problem would
be? Well, I think it's impossible to say. And I think the Justice Department would certainly say any example of insider trading is wrong, should be prosecuted to the full extent, and should be a warning to the scientific community as well as the investment community that that is illegal as well as being unethical. Beyond that, no one is keeping track of how many relationships cross the line and whether they do it in small or large steps. The expert network firms argue that they are a break wall against a worse situation where there would be no rules and no oversight, what they call the Wild West. But nobody knows what that would actually look like.
All right. Well, Jeff Mervis, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Jeff Mervis is a deputy news editor for Science. He writes about expert networks in a news focus this week.